Friday, February 10th, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report on the grains. Nitrogen prices are reportedly to be rising, so someone still plans to plant corn this spring. Some have been skeptical of producing another consecutive trendline yield, but there's nothing to suggest otherwise at this time. The ENSO is neutral to favoring El Nino in models, and we have a full profile of subsoil moisture in the soil bank. Trend line is 170-plus bushel per acre. Corn exports have been as good as they are because the United States has had to fill in for poor corn crops in South America last season. USDA expects solid crop production from South America this year. They're harvesting soybeans early, and corn planters are running right behind them, so the second crop corn looks to be going in under favorable conditions in Brazil. If South America produces what USDA says, U.S. exports next year could come down 300 million bushel as China takes the market share back. That doesn't factor in any trade disruption. That means with a trendline yield, U.S. corn acres have to come down a long ways to keep carryover from climbing again. There are a lot of physical reasons for farmers to favor planting corn that limit the price ratio advantage held by soybeans over corn. Some farmers think that if everyone else is planting soybeans, they will plant corn instead. The funds appear to be in control of what happens next in these markets. They are long and support that position on breaks. Farmer selling is still light and physical demand is not keeping up measured by basis erosion. Word is that some end users have begun offering free price later contracts so that farmers can deliver grain that they don't have to pay for, satisfying demand that doesn't have to bid up. Then they have control of the physical grain and control of the basis. President Trump and Japanese Prime Minister Abe are having a two-day meeting. Japan is the highest value market for U.S. meat. Mexico is the largest pork importer by volume. If pork and beef producers were to pick which one of our trading partners that Trump would engage with for a bilateral trade agreement, it would be Japan over Mexico. They would like Japanese tariffs on U.S. pork and beef to go away as soon as possible. They were much reduced under TPP, so the industries want something similar in a bilateral agreement. Australia currently has a lower tariff on beef than we get from Japan, and TPP addressed that. Losing TPP left the inequity in place. China was our best growth market for pork last year in percentage terms. 20-25% of U.S. pork is exported. While the two leaders will be setting a personal relationship, something Donald has been good at, the markets will be interested in what comes next after TPP was nixed. The administration says that they can get a better deal out of bilateral trade agreements because multilateral ones have to accommodate the weakest link in the group. The contention seems reasonable, but now they have to prove it. You're listening to the Comstock Report. 3, 2, 1. Markets like the comment from the president that his new tax reform proposal will be rolled out in 2 to 3 weeks. The dollar and stocks firmed on the news. He promised major business tax cuts. They need to get it going early so that the economic trend stays positive. He needs business sector support. The rub with his tax reform is what it does to the deficit. Tax plans floated thus far were a debt producing to the budget. And there are some deficit hawks in Congress that will be hard to win over. Infrastructure and military spending proposed also add to the deficit. The Koch brothers consortium spent $400 million electing fiscally conservative congressmen, and they are not in favor of tax reform that inflates the deficit, nor are they for the border tax proposal, seeing that as a New Day version of Smoot-Hawley. The executive branch has yet to engage with the congressional branch on legislation. Grocery store sales increased 2.3% last year, although the growth trend is slowing. While I want food sales to grow, it did not hurt my feelings that Whole Foods got knocked off its growth track, closing a few stores this year and abandoning their long-term business plan that called for 1,200 stores. They're now worried about running the 468 stores that they have, along with another 100 in the pipeline. They did run out of fools willing to pay too much for designer food. This may well signal that the organic industry is running out of road. The reason that Whole Foods has encountered a tightening market is competition from other supply chains that have borrowed from Whole Foods' model. The Wall Street Journal says that Whole Foods stock has lost over half its value since the 2013 peak. These businesses were expensive fads claiming to champion sustainability, when I believe they were the opposite of that. They charge exorbitant prices for food that has no tangible higher value. That train was only going to go so far. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information and marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at comstock.com or call 712-933-9400.